STR podcasts are made possible through the generous donations of our listeners. To support STR today, go to str.org and click on donate in the upper right-hand corner.
I was able to be part of a very unique outreach opportunity this past week. I took a group of 20 high school students from Upland Christian Academy to Utah for a Utah mission trip. And while we were up there, the last day of ministry, which was last Friday, we partnered with a guy named Chip Thompson, and he has started a ministry in, central Utah, in Ephraim, which is near Manti, which is where they do the big Mormon miracle pageant every June at the Manti Temple. But anyway, Chip Thompson has started a ministry up there called Tri Grace Ministries, and they do a lot of ministry to college students at a local community college, but then Chip does a lot of other ministry around the state of Utah. And so we partnered with Chip to do an outreach to Colorado City. Now, maybe the name of that city sounds familiar to you. Well, it should, because it's been in the news quite a bit over the last 5-6 years. That Colorado City is a city that's on the border of Utah and Arizona, and it's a polygamous community. It's actually the polygamous community where Warren Jeffs has been the prophet. Of course, Warren Jeffs had led a group of these polygamists down to Texas. They're the ones that were raided several years ago, and of course, he is in jail now. So we were doing an outreach to this polygamous community in Colorado City, and it is just an unreal kind of experience. And here's what we did with Chip, and we actually partnered with the spring break mission trip from Biola University, a number of college students that were there. There were probably 50 of us who participated in this outreach in Colorado City. And we had put together packets, packets that had some information. It had a letter that was a Christian testimony that some of our students had written, and then a little gift in each one of the packets. But then also stapled to the packet was a invitation to a barbecue that night. So we went out on Friday morning, and we started passing out about 1,000 of these in the community there. And our goal was to try and hit every single house in the community and to invite everybody to a barbecue that we had from 5:30 to 8:30. It was a free barbecue. We provided everything. We just wanted to get people out and then get an opportunity to talk with them, build some bridges, and minister to them. And Chip had actually done this prior, and they had about 50 people who had come out. So we drive into the neighborhoods, and we start passing these packets out. And like I said, it's kind of unreal, because in a number of the neighborhoods, you would drive in, and as soon as you'd get out of your car, or you'd put that first door hanger on the first door, and people in the community would see you, they would scatter. And so we had one group who they put their invitation on the door, and then they heard a car starting to honk, and it just continued to honk. And they realized that it was just a warning sign for the rest of the community that there was, an invader. We saw polygamous moms who would gather up their children when they saw our groups, walking towards them or in the neighborhood. They would quickly gather them up, run, gather them up, and go. I talked to one of our teams who they'd seen some polygamous wives with their children in a park. And they approached them, and as soon as these women saw them, they may have been about 75, 100 yards away. As soon as the women saw them, they grabbed all of their stuff. They grabbed what they could. They grabbed their food. They grabbed their children, and they went running to a van, jumped in the van, and then just took off. Now, one of the wives didn't make it to the van, and a couple of the children didn't make it to the van, so our group approached and tried to offer them this invitation, and the woman wouldn't even look at them, told them she didn't want any of it, and it was just a very odd situation to see people run away. Of course, it was also odd to see the way that some of these fundamentalist polygamists would dress, with a very kind of old traditional style, long dresses, a hair that was, I don't know, hard to describe, kind of an old style buffoon or something like that. It was just, it's like going into a different world. And it was also wild just being in these neighborhoods where you had some very large homes that obviously housed a number of different families, different wives and their children for, of course, one man. And so this was our outreach, and we actually had a very successful outreach. We had a couple hundred people show up in the park, all of them coming from polygamous families. And so it was very successful, and we were able to build some bridges and minister to some folks. But the whole experience got me reflecting, and in particular, it got me reflecting on the nature and the depth of our sin. Because I've done some reading on polygamy, and I've talked to some former polygamists. I've heard some testimonies of polygamists. And when you look into this world of polygamy, you discover that it is a very, very dark place. Now, I know there's a show that's on, I believe it's on TLC, a cable channel, that is called Sister Wives. And I watched an episode of that to see kind of how they portray this man with his multiple wives. And, of course, it gets portrayed in a very somewhat positive light from the episode I saw. And I thought, well, gosh, that does not match the reality of polygamy. When you hear the testimonies of former polygamists, their testimonies are filled with just horrible stories. And what you find behind polygamy is you find poverty. In fact, we saw just homes that were just looked destroyed, and yet families are living in them. And there were many of these homes in the community, very dirty places, run-down places. And of course, you can imagine that one man who's trying to support multiple wives and multiple children, that's going to be a financial strain. But not only is there poverty, there's a lot of abuse. And, I've heard testimony of young gals whose fathers rape them, whose fathers abuse them. And of course, you can imagine there's a lot of sexual abuse in this kind of situation. You have the abandoning of young boys. Of course, there's only so many women to go around, but you have, teenage boys who are growing up, and they become competition for the older men. And so oftentimes, polygamous communities will gather up these boys and take them hundreds of miles away and just drop them off in different cities. There's a book by a guy named Brian Mackert. He wrote a book called Illegitimate: How a Loving God Rescued a Son of Polygamy, and he talks about this kind of experience. There's a lot of substance abuse in the community. In fact, a group of our high school students were talking to some high school students from the polygamous community who had come out and for the barbecue, and our group had asked them, what do you guys do for fun? And they kind of looked at each other and laughed and said, we party like rock stars. And so our students kind of engaged them in some dialogue and just discovered that, drinking, drugs, these kinds of things are what some of these young people dive into to try and get away from the pain of their lifestyle, of their homes. And so there's a lot of substance abuse. Of course, there's a lot of emotional problems, depression, fear, guilt, these kinds of things. There's a lot of physical abuse that you find in polygamous communities. Of course, there's things like the first family often getting preferential treatment. The first wife and her children oftentimes get preferential treatment. And the list just kind of goes on and on and on. And to be in that community, and to really to sense the darkness, the evil in that community was palpable. I mean, you could almost feel it walking around. And so for me, the reflection as I was in that community, as I was walking around, as I was imagining what goes on behind the walls of those doors, and of course, there were actually literal walls around many of the places, and there are compounds there with, you know, the gated compounds with security and that kind of thing, and just to imagine the evil that is perpetrated in that community. And it just was a reminder, a very clear reminder for me about the depth of our sin. I ended up talking to a college student late one night, and he was asking me some questions. And one of the questions he was asking was kind of about the issue of God's fairness and his justice and his grace in light of hell and these kinds of issues. And so one thing I wanted him to reflect on was how evil humanity is. And I mentioned to him that there's a temptation to think that we are basically good. And I think we have a lot of that, of course, in our country here in the U.S., in Western culture. We basically think we're good. And so you might, you know, see polygamists, and we might think, oh gosh, we are nothing like them. That's disgusting, that's gross, that's evil, that's wrong, and I am nothing like that. But what I wanted to share with this college student who I was talking to is the depth of our sin. And I said, look, this being in this community, this polygamous community, doing this outreach, is a stark reminder of human evil, and not just the evil of others, but our own evil. And when we come to grips with the depth of our own sin, that helps us to make more sense out of God's righteous anger, his justice, the idea of hell, or the reality of hell. And, I look at a passage like Romans chapter 3. You know, Paul writes in verse 9, "What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." And I was made conscious of sin spending time in that polygamous community. And of course, it wasn't just the sin of that community, but it was also my own sin and the depth of my own sin. And even though it's politically incorrect to emphasize sin, to talk about the evil of humanity, we must do so. Because that is the bad news. And that bad news precedes the good news of the gospel. And the good news of the gospel makes sense only in light of that bad news. And of course, when we understand the depth of our sin, then we can just begin to grasp the depth of God's love and mercy and grace. And my time in the polygamous community last week was a reminder of that as well. God's love and grace are unspeakable.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcast and radio program are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.